The county's number one talk show, the 9 till noon show on Highland Radio.
08660 25,000. You're very welcome back to the programme. Just had a message from a listener overnight who preferred not to speak publicly, and it reads as follows. I just want to highlight to you and maybe let a few of your listeners know to be extra vigilant that I got scammed yesterday by €1,400. People called my phone pretending to be from Permanent TSB and had all my details, my address, my date of birth, my name, and said there was a security breach. So as I was on the phone, I got a text with a one-time passcode and they asked me to read it out to them for security reasons. And that was their way of putting through the transaction. So that's just from a younger listener there. Thank you very much for helping us to spread the awareness. So really be really careful. They lost €1,400. It's people purporting to be from PTSB. They had details which might make it convincing, your address, date of birth, name and what have you. And the way they did the scam is they said there was a security breach on the account. They would send a one-time passcode via text. And that's for security reasons. Again, sounds convincing, doesn't it? And once that was inserted or whatever happened next, they lost €1,400. So just be careful of that now. It could be from Ulster Bank. Well, probably not Ulster Bank now. But any of the banks, PTSB, AIB, Bank of Ireland, it's not the lending institutions that are the problem. It's the scammers. So just be careful. Congratulations, first placed poem in the English language category of the 2023 Francis Brown Multilingual Poetry Competition is Disguises by Deirdre Hines. Well done, Mum. Can you please play a request and wish a happy 60th birthday to a very special lady called Claire Mooney. She's in Burt. She's the best friend and sister-in-law in the world that I could wish for. Looking forward to partying to the wee small hours with her at the weekend. Love from Adele, Stephen, Gavin and Laura Russell. Thank you. More than happy to do so. Sounds good. Party at the weekend. My child was told he could control his Tourette's. So I would love if Highland Radio spent a full morning on neurodiversity, because we have two teenagers with ADHD, ASD and Tourette's, and absolutely not enough people in community are aware of hidden disabilities. Well, this is what we're here for. We'll work on that and see what we can do, dedicate a Monday focus to it or something. Anything that we can do that helps people like you and to raise awareness and make you feel heard and supported, I am very keen to do. Just to let you know, regarding neurodiversity, there's a group for people who hear voices that other people can't. It's every Tuesday, 11 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. at Creator Link Building, Pierce Road, Letterkenny. That's behind the Charlie's Cafe and beside Cara House. The group offers a safe space to talk about these phenomena and support and encouragement. You won't be pathologised, just a friendly, safe space. People who hear voices, psychosis, etc. are not dangerous or special in any way, just want to get along in life without prejudice or discrimination. That comes in from Owen. More than happy to mention that, Owen. And we have actually spoken about that before on the programme, not too long ago, although between the jigs and the reels, it's hard to keep track of time, I find, sometimes. But it's certainly something, another issue that we could, I definitely had two guests in here talking about that not too long ago. Congratulations to Jude, who you had on before the 10 o'clock news. Well said and well done. That comes in from Mary. Back to the traffic lights. You want to comment on that? That's okay. Interesting this morning, when the light was red at the Polestar, as I looked around me, a lot of the drivers were on their phones. It's become such a habit to lift your phone and check it, despite it being illegal. Then when the light goes green, they're not ready to take off, hence adding to the delay. I personally feel the public need to take responsibility for the issue with the lights. Ask Greg, does he think it's okay for children to have mobiles with them, 5 years of age? Is it okay for them to take them to school? I wouldn't have thought so. I'm very at pains to comment on what other parents do with their children, because often you just don't know the reasons, the motivations. Obviously, on the face of it, 5-year-old taking a phone into school, what apps do they have? I mean, do they have our own phone number? I don't know. Is it a particularly worried parent that has everything else switched on and wants to be able to send the message to see if they're okay? I don't know. I really don't feel I'm in a position to judge anyone. So I don't know. On the face of it, would that be for me? No, it wouldn't be for me. Would I criticise a parent without knowing the reasons why? No, I wouldn't either. Greg, here's a joke for you and your listeners about Facebook. They barred me because I called my female grandchild a wee darling in a message to her on her 21st birthday. They said it was contrary to the community standards. LOL, Mary. Oh, Mary, you can call me a wee darling anytime you like, and I guarantee you won't be banned. It's a little annoyance. I know there's some very serious things going on in the world, but let's talk a little bit about little annoyances. There's a lot of milk drank in our house, and dependent on the milk, there, when you take the lid off, there's a little plastic ring. There's a little plastic ring that remains on the carton. I never remember to take it off. I suppose the easiest thing in the world to do would be just to take that little plastic ring off. But not every morning, about three mornings a week, I am making tea and I tip the carton and off comes this little ring straight into the cup and I have to fish it out, burn my finger, try and find it with a spoon. It's a little annoyance. Doesn't matter. It's no big deal. I'm not complaining. I know there's much worse happening in the world. But do you have any other little annoyances like that? For me this morning, it was that little plastic ring on the milk carton falling into the tea again. And I have to go rooting around for it. It's a little annoyance. No big deal. Do you have any little annoyances? Share them with us. There must be something on a day-to-day basis that happens. And you go, oh, it's nothing, but it's a pain in the bum. 086 60 25,000. Share your little annoyances with us. Or give us a call on 074 91 25,000. Maybe there's a few light-hearted ones out there to lift our spirits. As I say, I know it's not important. Don't give out to me. But that plastic ring falling into the cup is my little annoyance. What is yours? Kevin is a typical of why the lights are not working for him. People have little experience of the system with the junction, and that's the issue. That's Kevin, who was on with us yesterday. It's not the traffic lights or roundabouts' fault. It's the people who don't know how to use them. Says a lot of people, actually. Another, drivers, brake lights, cars, litter off footpaths, driver speed. Why is this caller only concerned by e-scooter riders? I see more drivers break the laws every day. I suppose it's e-scooters in car parks and footpaths that is the issue. Hi, Greg. On the school lunching, how come some schools get it and some don't, and some get hot food every day? Would you not think all the schools should get it just like everybody gets the family allowance or the light bill money? I'll dig into that. I'm not sure of the criteria. Is it DESH schools at the moment? I'll have to double check that. Do away with the Polestar roundabout. Put on traffic lights only. That'd be like a crossroads. Again, there's so many people, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people texting in on this issue. The traffic in Stranorley this morning was brutal. Can't get up or down Avenue to St. Columbus College. The main street is totally blocked at queue and queued up Avenue, and queue coming down Avenue has nowhere to go. Can it not go one way somehow? It's shocking this morning. Can someone tell me Avenue, just so I understand the listeners, because that's coming in a couple of times and I just can't think of where Avenue is in. Delighted to welcome onto the programme now Nicola Tallant, author of Cocaine Cowboys, The Deadly Rise of Ireland's Drug Lords. Good morning to you, Nicola. Thank you so much for joining us.
Good morning.
I think this is, I mean, perhaps this, it would always have been timely, but it feels particularly more so to be publishing a book on cocaine now. Well, I think the penny is dropping nationally that this isn't an urban problem. It's not with any particular group of individuals or with a particular background that, and it's pretty much accepted up here, Nicola, as you would know, that sometimes it would be easier to get cocaine than it might be a pizza. That's a quote that's been used up here a few times. So this really is coming at a time of great public awareness of the prevalence of cocaine use.
Most certainly. I mean, you'd swear I organised for that MV Matthew to lose a few tons off the coast. That just happened just as we were kind of coming up to the publication date. Yes, it's very timely. I mean, I suppose the book is a culmination of my work over the past 20 or more years, really. But yes, I think public awareness is finally, you know, coming. It's coming to the fore, the usage of it, the problem with demand, the problem with supply. And of course, they both go hand in hand.
In terms of tracing, you know, the arrival of cocaine into this country in a big way, how far back do we have to go?
Well, we go back to the early 90s, the late 1980s, really, and the early 1990s, which sounds like a lifetime away. And that's really when it starts tumbling in down around West Cork, you know, off. Obviously, it's been dropped off or sometimes the ships have gone awry with weather and you start to see it. And actually, at the time, the politicians were more concerned about cannabis use. See how times change. Yeah. I mean, we're probably in our lifetimes maybe going to see that legalised in this country and others. And they were more concerned about it. But the cocaine was coming. They were, you know, standing up in the Dáil. They were looking for the coast guards to be given better binoculars. they were looking for one extra rib to be put out in the sea to patrol the seas for it. And nobody had any clue that this literally, and it's been called it a number of times, a tsunami was coming. Of course, the Colombians, first Escobar and those who followed him, were eyeing up Europe as a growth market. They had saturated the US with cocaine and they were producing so much of the stuff. And of course, there's been lots of political problems that have gone on there and in other countries which produce the cocaine. So they have all along upped the amount of product. Europe has welcomed it with open arms. And the fact of the matter is, well, maybe we don't feel this way, but Europe and Ireland is quite a rich country and people have a lot of disposable income to spend on socialising. And that's really why we're using so much of it.
And you can, in your book, trace it back to the beginnings and the individuals or organisations or gangs that really were at the forefront, and that almost sounds like a positive, but I think you know what I'm saying, at the forefront sort of realising the demand. And of course, it is probably quite complicated to bring it in and distribute it and have all those wheels and cogs in place.
Well, it is and it isn't, because sometimes if you draw a straight shipping line, you know, from the Caribbean coasts, you basically pass Ireland and you'll hit Spain. And they're the two places that, you know, you see up in Donegal. Recently, there was bales of cocaine coming in. Obviously, something went awry out at sea. A lot of the times the big container ships are dropping loads with navigational tools on them and in waterproof containers, and other vessels are going out to pick it up. So the transport of it, yes, the transport of it is difficult. The difficulty is landing it safely. And once they land it or get it through the ports, really, it sort of breaks up at that point. It's very difficult to make any difference with the seizures. But I think what happened was, you had the beginnings of it coming in. You had Ireland, because it's quite a complex situation, and it's not just that we enjoyed taking it. You had Ireland coming, you know, with the Celtic Tiger. You had a lot of employment. You had pretty much full employment for a long time, and I think we're back up to that situation now. And you also had a guy called Christy Kinahan, perfectly placed by the kind of late 1990s. Went very, very ambitious and placed out in Europe along with others who kind of ran out of the country around the time the Criminal Assets Bureau set up. And they were becoming big wholesalers. And obviously then what happened with Kinahan was his sons and their cohorts came of age and they're very ambitious, and he places them in Spain. And the rest, we all know, they just kept growing and growing as an organisation. And, you know, there's still an international effort to dismantle that organisation now. I mean, we punch above our weight with, you know, our Kinahans, definitely. They're the first really global, trans-global trafficking organisation that has been produced from our tiny island.
Just briefly on that, what is the situation, as far as you're aware at this point, Nicola, in terms of getting them before Irish courts? There was some word a few weeks ago of further meetings in terms of extradition or whatever it might be. What is the situation there? Are they, as far as we're aware, still in the UAE or in Dubai?
Yes, they're still there and they haven't left there. There is that sort of political hand of friendship going out from the Garda Commissioner and others to the UAE, because in the background, the fact of the matter is the DPP, the Director of Public Prosecutions, has files on Christy Kinahan Sr. and his sons, Daniel and Christopher Jr. And they are recommending, the Gardaí have carried out this vast 7-year investigation, and they have given all their sort of their, you know, what they have discovered to the DPP. They're looking for murder charges, directing of criminal organisation charges, etc. for them. That decision is likely to be made in the new year. And at that point, we're going to the UAE with a totally different picture. Up to now, you know, people are calling for them to be brought back. The fact of the matter is, if they're brought back today, they could walk free. Mm. They could walk out of Dublin Airport and be free, because we don't have charges for them. We do obviously have charges for one of their cohorts, Sean McGovern, who remains free in Dubai as well. So I think coming into 2024, if we get back those directions and the DPP says, yes, I want them in the Special Criminal Court, then we're going out politically to say these are wanted for, you know, serious charges. And Dubai have given back others, you know.
Yep.
They've given back a lot of the Dutch and the Italians and everything. We've no extradition treaty because we don't really agree with their laws. And we couldn't obviously send anyone back there for some of the things they'd put somebody on trial for. But they have sort of a, you know, look, they're sheltering a huge amount of organised criminals and there's an awful lot of money laundering going on there. But they're trying to put on a face for the international community and look as if they're not doing that. So I do believe they will hand them back and we'll probably see them in court, which will be another bloody 10 years of work on this story. But anyway.
And now you have to do the podcast as well as everything else. Yeah. No, it's just a fascinating story. So someone who is a boxing fan, I kind of looked at it as a different way because I could see the their involvement and what they were doing. And it was just, it's just been a remarkable story to watch unfold. Just back to the book, Nicola, if you don't mind. So, you know, we have the beginnings and where we have now, and you've touched on some of the main players and all, but how do you tell us the story in terms of, you know, the spread of cocaine, the, you know, maybe some of the more famous people that have succumbed to the drugs. So talk us a little bit more about that narrative throughout the book and how we get to current day.
So I've tried to sort of weave this narrative through the book to show how basically this underworld that we talk about and the characters within that sort of collide nearly with high society because of cocaine. And you have a huge amount of incidents over the years, a lot of it centred around City West and the Mansfield properties and territories. And of course, a Criminal Assets Bureau case recently found that Daniel Kinahan and Thomas Bomber Kavanagh, another big cocaine lord currently jailed in the UK, delivered 4.5 million in cash to the Mansfield home for it to be laundered through the property business. I mean, this is an extraordinary story in itself, that the richest family in Ireland, headed by the patriarch, the late Jim Mansfield Sr., there was always rumours going round about them, but nobody ever really could put their finger on it or whatever. And of course, the economic crash ended up causing them huge problems because they lost everything into the receivers, both the clean money investments and the dirty ones. And, you know, in a way, that's kind of nearly a book in itself. But I have tried to sort of weave that and show the sort of the darkness of the cocaine wars and that growing violence that, I mean, really, in the last couple of years, Drogheda, which is a large town, but it could be any town. It could be any town in Donegal or anywhere that happened in. That was a fight over turf. And it was older drug lords sending out young, groomed, radicalised teenagers to fight their corners in this tit-for-tat row, which culminated in the murder and dismemberment of a 17-year-old. A horrendous story. And you have all those kind of things going on while you have, you know, high society smiling for the cameras and you're mixing with these people that are selling the drugs. It's quite interesting, all of that. And I suppose I've also tried to thread through it those warning signs about the demand, those reports that were coming out that were pointing to the problems that Ireland in particular currently has. I mean, we're one of the biggest cocaine users on the globe. Ourselves, Australia, Spain and the Netherlands seem to me to be just partying 24/7 with the stuff. We're really sort of punching above our weight in all angles with this.
Yeah, OK. It's going to be a fascinating read. And I mean, to some extent, I think even in Donegal, more interest now in, you kind of get a background as to how millions of euro of drugs could wash up in a beach. You know, not specifically that case, but how the country has come to the a situation where that can happen. And it is only the tip of the iceberg.
Exactly. And, you know, in particular, counties like Donegal, where the fishing industry and the maritime industry is so big and an employer, etc. Like, the problem is that because of cocaine, corruption and, you know, threats have filtered into every part of society. You have a big shipping giant like Maersk coming out recently saying, we have a problem here. We don't know how to protect our workers from this. And the fishing industry is really at risk. There's temptations there for people, you know, to earn money. to do what they believe is, okay, a high-risk job, but hopefully they can land something in. But there's also, I get reports all the time, I'm talking to colleagues of mine in Belgium, in the Netherlands and other places with problems, reports of people working in the fishing industry literally being shown pictures of their children and being told, you do this for us or else. Mm-hmm. And what would you do in that situation?
And then internally, people maybe based from in Donegal who work during the week and other counties as well work in, during the week in Dublin, effectively transporting this stuff back home in inverted commas. And it happens all the time. We hear about it. Indeed, one sniffer dog. We got one sniffer dog last year. It was a big news story up here, Nicola. You know, you just when you talk about the fishing industry and what have you, one sniffer. But we couldn't actually find out if it's based in Donegal or if it's covering Sligo, Leitrim and Donegal. But anyway, we'll get to the bottom of that eventually. But that sometimes is... No, but it's just how seriously are we taking it in 2023? Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Nicola, listen, it's going to be a huge success for you. I have no doubt whatsoever. Cocaine Cowboys, The Deadly Rise of Ireland's Drugs Lords. And it's available in all the usual places right now. Thanks so much for your time, Nicola. Have a lovely day.
Thank you very much.
Bye-bye. Take care of yourself. 086 60 25,000 WhatsApps and texts to that number if you want to comment. All right, you're welcome back to the program. We've been talking about our minor annoyances, and we know it's only a bit of fun. I'm with you, Greg, on the plastic milk bottles ring. It's so simple to remove it, but I usually end up retrieving it from my morning cup of tea. Another bugbear of mine is shoelaces that just won't stay tied. No matter how tightly I tie them, they somehow become loose within an hour. Years ago, you tied your shoelaces in the morning and untied them when going to bed. What's happened to these faithful foot soldiers? I don't know. Another thing annoys me, and it's a complete and utter lie, is easy peel bacon and ham. It's not easy peel. You pull at it, and I end up then having to hatchet it with a knife. Also, is it just me, but you open the ham and all the ham's upside down. What's the story with that? I have to open it, turn the ham the right way up, and then seal it again. That is a random annoyance. Not a big deal, but it annoys the living daylights out of me. Another one. This is just me now. No texting now that people are texting in. The things that you can microwave with the thin plastic sheet on the top of them. Have you ever tried to get one of them off? And you end up with the plastic still around it and you don't know if you can put it in the oven or the microwave or whatever. Another annoyance for our listener, toilet seats that don't stay up when you're going to the toilet. Man here speaking, obviously, sit down, treat yourself. I don't think enough men treat themselves to a sit-down one. Why do you have to stand? There's nothing to stop you. Sit down, chill out a bit. Take the weight off your feet, breathe, relax. But yes, I know exactly what you're talking about. What annoys me is I can't see any milk table jugs to buy in stores anymore. Lots of mugs and cups of folks. No table manners anymore using large milk containers on their tables. Ugh. Well, now when I'm making the tea, I am there standing at the counter beside the kettle. But I take your point. I'm sure there's a shop out there that sells milk table jugs. Let us know. We can perhaps put a bit of business your way. 086 60 25,000. I've got so many things that annoy me in a light-hearted way right now, but keep them coming into us, please. Keep your annoyances coming into us. 086 60 25,000. What little thing do you come across during the day that is an annoyance? Okay, we are joined on the programme now by Elizabeth Baraza, who is from Poland. Good morning, Elizabeth. Thank you so much for joining us.
Good morning. Thank you. Thank you very much. And in the first place, I will apologize for my English because it's so bad.
It's much better than my Polish, Elizabeth, so we will be okay. Now, you tell me what situation you're facing with your children, Elizabeth.
I moved to Ireland 2 weeks ago, and I decided to move here because I'm looking for a better place for my children. And I moved to here also to work, growing up. But the situation that I have at this moment is I cannot enroll my children at the school. I have 4 children, 2 small, 6 and 7 years old, and I already filled out the form and I still waiting for the answer because they said me that will be the school to need verify if they have a place for the small children. And also the older children, I'm looking for a co-educational school, but here in Letterkenny only has half two schools. Yeah, one of them is the education in Irish and language. This is no possibility for my children. And the other one, I just be there yesterday and say me the have not place for them.
Now, and, obviously, with your children not at school and you don't have a car, so you can't travel to another school, but with your children not being able to get to school, first, one, they lose a year of education, but two, presumably, you can't work.
Yeah, but I didn't. At the moment, I stay with in home with them because I can do it. Yeah, I can leave my four children alone at home. And this is a problem, very big problem to me because the situation is very stressful, no? Because I don't know what else I can do, where I can go. And I don't know someone who can help me in this situation. Because I feel loose here in this moment.
Understood. Your children aged 14 and 15, that would be secondary school, and your youngest children aged 7 and 6. No spaces for any of them. Have you contact with other members of the Polish community here, Elizabeth, that might have experience of this?
Yeah, my husband and I yesterday was looking for some information on Facebook, mm-hmm. and I get someone. I have already sent emails to the consul department in Donegal. I also write to the citizen information requesting help, but at the moment I don't have an answer.
Can I ask, mm-hmm. You said you moved to Ireland for a better life for your children. Is it better so far? What did you leave in Poland that makes Ireland better, if I can ask?
I see that. Can you repeat, please, one more time?
Yeah. Why did you leave Poland and come to Ireland?
Working every time, yeah. Mm-hmm. My financial situation was maybe okay, but if I want to buy a house and I want get some more for my children, I cannot, yeah. Mm-hmm. Because we are big family, yeah. I can work every day, every time, every day. 12 hours, and I will have the same payment. I don't know if you understand me.
I do.
For that reason, I moved to Ireland because I see the rights of people who are working here. Yeah.
Okay. Now, we shall, Elizabeth, we shall ask our listeners if they can help, if they have any advice about getting your children into school. We have your contact details, and if we get anything useful, we will contact you and let you know.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you. Best wishes to you and your family. Thank you, Elizabeth.
Thank you.
Take care of yourself. Okay. Any advice input there? She's based in Letterkenny. They don't have a vehicle at this time. 086 60 25,000. I don't want to sort of fleet from something that's really quite serious for people to something that's somewhat lighthearted, but I did mention ham being upside down, and it's caused quite a bit of controversy. A few people messaging in thinking I'm crazy. Dominic on Facebook says, how is the ham upside down in the pack? Well, I'm going to make a video and post it on my social media. When you open it, the ham I get anyway, maybe it's the ham I get, the top, it's slanted away from you, so the top slices are at the back of the packet. I don't want to rip it all open. I just want to rip the front of it open and then just take a slice down, but it is upside down. Can anyone else back me up on it, or am I completely losing the plot that at least some of the ham in the packet is upside down? All right, back after these. A caller says, hi, Greg, we've got four children. The eldest didn't get a phone until they started secondary school. This will be the same for all of our children. Yeah, indeed, and that's, you're right. And how did it work for you, by the way? Hi, Greg. Big meeting today. GPs and the South, the management, talking shop, letting GPs let off steam a bit. Wait 3 months, nothing will change. Well, I would hold my fire on that one, because the GPs are going in there full of knowledge and also full of determination to see results. And the GPs that we're talking of and those that we've spoken to would not be brushed off too easy. I take your point, and I can understand why we can feel that cynicism, but the GPs themselves will call it out. I'm absolutely, I've no doubt about that. They'll call it out if they believe that it was just a talking shop and nothing will change. So bear with us. Listen to the show tomorrow morning. We're going to have full coverage of that meeting. We're going to be speaking to GP representatives. Maybe even CELTA management might make themselves available. But it's an issue that we see is incredibly significant, and one that we're not going to be brushed off on anyway. And I have no doubt the GPs involved, because they feel so passionately about it, won't be brushed off either or fobbed off. You know what I mean? But I also get where, and I don't mean this in the nicest possible way, where your cynicism might come from, because so often we talk about stuff and it feels we talk about stuff and it feels like nothing is changing. All right, so I want to say good morning to John now. John, thanks for holding. How are you keeping, John?
Grand, Greg.
Good,
grand.
Good to hear. Right, now you say you're not far off receiving your pension, but you've noticed an issue, yeah, particularly in relation to the care of your teeth.
Yeah. 2 years ago, I did pay for to get work done to my teeth, which mm-hmm. cost me up on maybe $100 wow. at that time, but I'm not in a position to pay that now anyway. So I looked up, and I have a medical card, and it tells you all you can get done and this and that. But I'm in the Bunkrana area, not far out of Bunkrana, and I've tried, I don't know, Moval, Cairn, Bunkrana, Letterkenny. So I rang up, nobody wants to take medical care. Mm. Nobody will take it. So I rang up the health, and they gave me a number in Bunkrana, which I won't mention, no names. I said, go to them and they'll do it. No, no good. They won't do it. So I got a number then for a place in Letterkenny, which I won't mention names, I'll get nobody in to bother. No. It says, we don't do it, and you won't get anybody in Letterkenny to do it. But our other branch in Donegal Town, which is Blue Poppy
yep.
Dental
yep.
in Donegal Town, so I rang them, and they says, after a bit of questioning, they said, don't do it. But that's grand. What my policy is, that's, I would say, good 60 to 70 kilometres.
No, it's a long run from Bunkrana to Donegal Town, no doubt about that.
And I'll have to get somebody probably to take me up, because if I get out teeth, I'll be in no position to drive home. So I'll have to leave Bunkrana at least 7 o'clock. And I was well glad to get it.
Mm-hmm.
It's 8:30 tomorrow morning.
Okay, good.
The issue I have is, why does the put on stuff on the medical card when nobody will use a medical card? As if the dental surgeons bumping the prices up to get you the money out of your pocket, or as the government not paying enough.
Can I say, John, I think it might be, and we'll check with dentists, because we've got good contacts. I think it might be down to capacity, you know, that they simply, because even I recently went to the dentist and I did get a cancellation. It was for routine stuff. And it was like the appointment was 4, 5, 6 away, and that was private. 4, 5, 6 weeks away, and that was private. As I say, thankfully, I did get a cancellation. So, is it, maybe it's not gouging, John, or about money? Maybe it's about capacity, and they simply can't take on any more. Because maybe even someone who is paying privately might find it difficult to sign up with some of the dentists that you've contacted. Or did they say to you, "We can do you if you pay"?
Yeah. There's one here, I'm not going to say Bunkrana, very close to me. Not going to say anywhere. Yeah, they were giving me an appointment for tomorrow, which would have been private. I would have had to pay.
Right, okay,
I got you. And they phoned me this morning and says they can take me today. So then I says, do you take medical card? Oh, no, 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 we wouldn't take medical card. So I says, how much would this be? And it says, well, for the set, you know, they're not going to say, it just says, well, first of all, it'll cost you 45 euros for a just. And if they have to do x-rays, you're probably chatting 100 x-rays for an x-ray. And probably go in after that, whatever you need to get worked on to your teeth.
You can see how it starts racking up into hundreds there very quickly.
Yeah, but they could do it. It took me tomorrow morning, and then they wanted me to go today. So
effectively, you know, John, we can group it all in here and say, effectively, you can't get your teeth looked at on your medical card north of the gap in your experience.
No, I definitely can't.
Right.
No. And, you know, what good is a medical card with this on it when nobody wants to take the medical card, nobody wants you in?
Right,
what good is it?
All right, John, listen, we're going to dig a bit deeper.
But one other thing, Greg.
Yes,
while you're on. Just one different issue. Mm. I have been talking about this for years. Now, if I lived in Malinhead, or Hornhead, or whatever it should be, next year I'll be getting a free bus pass.
Yes.
But what's good is a free bus pass? It's useless. Because the bus doesn't go anymore. Why do they not give an issue or something for pensioners? And I don't mean to jaunt all over the country on a taxi, but when you live so far out, to get the taxi to the nearest town so that you can get the bus.
Mm-hmm.
If I live in Malinhead and I wanted to go to probably be Cairndona or Moncrana, I don't know, to get a bus, that's going to cost me 12 or 15 euros. And when I would come back and get after the bus, it's going to cost me 12 or 15 euros to get back to Malinhead again.
Yeah, I get you.
So what is this? Like, it's useless.
So between the free bus pass, the free dental care, in inverted commas, you've paid for it all your life, John, so it's not free. It's just, you know, you've paid this. The free bus pass, not much use to you. And it's not free, really, if you have to book and ring up or go online and book a ticket because it costs you to do that. Terms of the dental treatment, you're having to spend quite a lot of money or inconvenience someone. I'm sure they don't mind doing it for you, John.
Yeah.
Traveling all the way to Donegal Town and then back to Boncrana. Right, two good points, John, and two points that come up on the programme now and again. I want to get to the bottom of the medical card stuff and the dental treatment stuff, so leave that with us and we'll do a bit of digging around and hopefully come up with some answers.
That's great.
Take care. And hopefully tomorrow morning goes all right for you. Take care, all right? They're a great crew down there in Donegal Town. I can say that myself. Hi, Greg. I read that one. Hi, Greg, here. The people on again about the traffic in Letterkenny. Complete disaster, the amount of people that I'm chatting to and will not be going to Letterkenny shopping. Well, I hope that's not the case because, you know, in a lot of the routes, like if you're coming from Lifford, Ballybofey, Stranoll or up the four lanes and into the town, I don't think it's too bad. I think there's a particular couple of issues that... I really wouldn't discourage anyone from going into Letterkenny to shop because those businesses are really important in terms of, employment, supporting local charities and all that type of stuff. So hopefully it doesn't discourage a lot of people from shopping in Letterkenny. But that being said, I can understand the frustration. The problem with the Polestar is the roundabout is too small. The same lights set up on the roundabout at the full bridge, but being bigger, it works fine. That was Kevin's point yesterday as well. He believes it's too small for all the traffic lights that are on it. There's traffic jams on the four lanes at peak times before the lights. The only difference now is that they are much longer. People blaming other people about roundabout usage is total nonsense. Have they not been close enough to see how these lights affect HGV movement on the roundabout? The bloody thing's too small for so many lights. Until we get a new bridge, if ever, there'll be traffic chaos in Letterkenny. I might dig out the reference to progress on that Bonagie link from last week because I need to listen back to it again so I can quote it going forward in terms of when it might be realised. Look, until people get used to it, there's going to be some driver influence in it, but it's not going to cause a situation where it takes someone an hour to get from Arena 7 to the Polestar roundabout. That's not drivers. You know, come on, let's be realistic about it. Did you ever look closely at the euro notes, asks a listener? It doesn't say anything on them about legal tender, as it does on other currency. Just a wee point. All right, thanks very much for that. I get you. I have to be really brief with this one. Dr. Caroline Robbins is a past president of the Irish Dental Association. Caroline, good morning to you. Thank you so much for your time.
No problem. Good morning to you.
Can you give us an insight into our last caller's situation, Doctor? And thanks so much, by the way, for making yourself available at such short notice.
No, anything to get her out of the hoovering.
I hear you.
Day off, the house needs to be attacked.
Yes.
Okay, so look, I mean, obviously it is a countrywide issue. We know that. And I don't think, unfortunately, your caller's predicament is... You know, it's one facing a lot of patients. Your researcher just asked me to explain why, you know, some dentists don't accept medical card. So dentists are contracted to, you know, it's an individual choice to have a contract with a medical card. So not all dentists are. So if you don't hold a contract with the HSC to provide medical card treatment, if a patient is looking to have that treatment done, the dentist can't provide it. Does that make sense? Because they're not contracted to provide that kind of treatment.
There's no system for them to get paid for it because they're not signed up to the system. Yeah.
No, they're not signed up to it. And then if their dentist maybe in the past had been providing medical card treatment and has resigned from them, then unfortunately they are no longer in a position. They can still look after them, but unfortunately they don't have the facility to offer it under the medical card system either. Mm. And then obviously patients are finding it difficult to find a dentist who is still currently accepting medical card patients, because those that probably are still are absolutely swamped and really don't have the facility to take on more, because the system is broken. It's, you know, we're talking about a 1994 contract. We're in 2023. Mm-hmm. The government will come on and wax lyrical about, oh, we've up fees and we've done this, that and the other thing. But it doesn't address that we physically don't have enough hands to provide the treatment.
And it is part of it, Caroline, and if I'm reading you correctly, that some dentists will make a commercial decision and say that if we do medical card work, that will displace private work and we might be less profitable or it might lower our income. Is that a reality of why they might make a decision not to sign up to the scheme?
In part. I mean, it is, we run a business. I own a practice. I run a business. I know that if I was facing into, and I still see medical card. Mm-hmm. I see my existing patients. But I know that if I was facing into a day of purely medical card, I would be worried about the fact that I would not be covering my overheads for the day.
I get you.
So there is a business aspect to it. It's not a nice side. It's a side of dentistry I hate, mm-hmm. because I really want to be looking after my patient regardless of whether they're medical card, PRSI, private. They're still my patients, mm-hmm. and they all deserve to come through my door and be offered the same level of service.
Caroline,
the medical card takes that away.
Thank you so much for that. And we've talked about this in the past, and the system is almost designed, it seems, to extract rather than repair or care.
Oh,
and we've had that whole, not from the dentist perspective, but the way the system is set up. So listen, Caroline, thank you so much for reminding us of the situation, and I wish I had a little bit more time, but for now I'll let you back to your vacuum cleaning.
Thank
it
you
has
so
to
much.
Be done too. Okay. Dr. Caroline Robbins, past president of the Irish Dental Association, thank you so much for your time today.